Hello and welcome to Books Podcast and Politics Weekly listeners. I'm Richard Lee from the Books Desk at The Guardian, where this week we're publishing a series of extracts from Mohamedou Ould Slahi's Guantanamo diary. Written in his single-cell segregation hut at Camp Echo in 2005, this 466-page manuscript tells the story of his arrest, torture, and the imprisonment without charge which continues to this day, more than 13 years after he was first detained. But the regime under which he's currently held means that his words were classified from the moment he set them down on paper. After years of litigation and 2,500 US government redactions, Slahi's memoir is finally being published. We've teamed up with Canongate Books to present the full declassified manuscript online at guantanamodiary.com, as well as a series of extracts from his ordeal at the Guardian website. With Slahi still locked up in Guantanamo Bay, we've assembled a group of celebrated writers, actors and cultural figures, including Harry Kunzru, Benedict Cumberbatch and Shami Chakrabarti, to bring his words to life on this special podcast series.
It is now the end of 2002, and Mohamedou is called in for yet another interrogation.
760, reservation, they said. Okay, just give me a second. I put my clothes on and wash my face. My heart started to pound. I hated interrogation. I had gotten tired of being terrified all the time, living in constant fear, day in and day out, for the last 13 months. Allah be with you. Keep your head on. They work for Satan, yelled my fellow detainees to keep me together, as we always did when somebody got pulled for interrogation. I hated the sounds of the heavy metal chains. I can hardly carry them when they're given to me. People were always getting taken from the block, and every time I heard the chains, I thought it would be me. You never know what's going to happen in the interrogation. People sometimes never came back to the block. They just disappeared. It happened to a Moroccan fellow detainee, and it would happen to me, as you're going to learn, God willing. When I entered the room in, it was crowded with, Hi. I have chosen, based on their experience and maturity, they'll be assessing your case from now on. There are a couple of things that need to be completed in your case. For instance, you didn't tell us everything about, he's a very important guy. First, I told you what I know about, even though I don't need to be providing you information about anybody. We're talking here about me. Second, in order to continue my cooperation with you, I need you to answer me one question. Why am I here? If you don't give me the answer, you can consider me a non-existent detainee. Later on, I learned from my great lawyers that the magic formulation of my request is a petition for a writ of habeas corpus. Obviously, that phrase makes no sense to the average mortal man like me. The average person would just say, "Why the hell are you locking me up?" I'm not a lawyer, but common sense dictates that after 3 years of interrogating me and depriving me of my liberty, the government at least owes me an explanation why it's doing so. What exactly is my crime? It makes no sense. It's like somebody who quits a 10-mile trip after traveling 9 miles, said. It would have been more accurate had he said a million-mile trip after traveling 1 mile. Look, it's as simple as ABC. Answer me the question and I will cooperate with you fully. I have no answer, said. Neither do I replied. It says in the Quran, somebody who kills one soul is considered to have killed all of humanity, said the French translator, trying to reach a breakthrough. I looked at him disrespectfully with the side of my face. I'm not the guy you're looking for, I said in French. And I repeated it in plain English. Started. I'm sure you're against killing people. We're not looking for you. We're looking for those guys who are out there trying to hurt innocents. He said this while showing me a bunch of ghostly pictures. I refused to look at them. And whenever he tried to put them under my side, I looked somewhere else. I didn't even want to give him the satisfaction of having taken a look at them. Look. Is cooperating, and he has a good chance of getting his sentence reduced to 27 years. And is really a bad person. Somebody like you needs only to talk for 5 minutes and you're a free man, said. He was everything but reasonable. When I contemplated his statement, I was like, God, a guy who is cooperating is gonna be locked up for 27 more years, after which he won't be able to enjoy any kind of life. What kind of harsh country is that? I'm sorry to say that statement wasn't worth an answer. He and tried to reason with the help of the MI guy, but there was no convincing me to talk. You could tell that the interrogators were getting used to detainees who refused to cooperate after having cooperated for a while. Just as I was learning from other detainees how not to cooperate, the interrogators were learning from each other how to deal with non-cooperating detainees. The session was closed, and I was sent back to my cell. I was satisfied with myself, since I now officially belong to the majority, the non-cooperating detainees. I minded less being locked up unjustly for the rest of my life. What drove me crazy was to be expected to cooperate too. You lock me up, I give you no information, and we both are cool. The sessions continued with the new team. Rarely attended the sessions. I won't come as long as you don't give us every piece of information you have, he once said. Still, because we're Americans, we treat you guys according to our high standards. Look at... We're offering him the latest medical technology. You want just to keep him alive because he might have some intels, and if he dies, they're gonna die with him, I responded. US interrogators always tended to mention free food and free medical treatment for detainees. I don't really understand what other alternatives they have. I personally have been detained in non-democratic countries, and the medical treatment was the highest priority. Common sense dictates that if a detainee goes badly ill, there will be no intels and he'll probably die. We spent almost 2 months of argumentation. Bring me to the court and I will answer all your questions, I would tell the team. There will be no court, they would answer. Are you a mafia? You kidnap people, lock them up and blackmail them, I said. You guys are a law enforcement problem, said. We cannot apply the conventional law to you. We need only circumstantial evidence to fry you. I have done nothing against your country, have I? You're part of the big conspiracy against the US, said. You can pull this charge on anybody. What have I done? I don't know. You tell me. Look, you kidnapped me from my home in Mauritania, not from a battlefield in Afghanistan, because you suspected me of having been part of the Millennium Plot, which I'm not, as you know by now. So what is the next charge? It looks to me as if you want to pull any shit on me. I don't want to pull any shit on you. I just wish you had access to the same reports as I do, said. I don't care what the reports say. I'd just like you to take a look at the reports from January 2000 linking me to the Millennium Plot. And you now know that I'm not a part of it. After the cooperation of... I don't think that you're a part of it. Nor do I believe that you know... But I do know that you know people who know... said. I don't know, but I don't see the problem if it is the case, I replied. Knowing somebody is not a crime, no matter who he is. A young Egyptian who was serving as interpreter that day tried to convince me to cooperate. Look, I've come here sacrificing my time to help you guys, and the only way to help yourself is to talk, he said. Aren't you ashamed to work for these evil people who arrest your brothers in faith for no reason than being Muslim? I asked him. I'm older than you are, speak more languages. I have a higher college grade. And I've been in many more countries than you have. I understand you're here to help yourself and make money. If you're trying to fool anybody, it's only yourself. I was just so mad because he talked to me as if I were a child. We're just staring. These conversations took place again and again in different sessions. I kept saying, you tell why I am here. I will cooperate. You don't tell me, I'm not gonna cooperate. But we can talk about anything else beside interrogation. Welcomed that idea. He assured me that he was going to ask his boss to provide him the cause of my arrest because he didn't know it himself. In the meantime, he taught me a lot about American culture and history, the US and Islam, and the US and the Arab world. The team started to bring movies in. I saw the Civil War, Muslims in the US, and several other frontline broadcasts regarding terrorism. All of this shit happens because of hatred, he would say. Hatred is the reason for all disasters. He was interested in getting information as quickly as possible using classic police methods. He offered me McDonald's one day, but I refused because I didn't want to owe him anything. The army are fighting to take you to a very bad place, and we don't want that to happen, he warned me. Just let them take me there. I'll get used to it. You keep me in jail whether or not I cooperate. So why should I cooperate? I said this, still not knowing that Americans use torture to facilitate interrogations. I was very tired from being taken to interrogation every day. My back was just conspiring against me. I even sought medical help. You're not allowed to sit for such a long time, said the physiotherapist. Please tell my interrogators that, because they make me sit for long hours almost every day. I'll write a note, but I'm not sure whether it will have an effect, she replied. It didn't. Instead, in February 2003, washed his hands off me. I'm going to leave, but if you're ready to talk about your telephone conversations, request me. I'll come back, he said. I assure you, I'm not going to talk about anything unless you answer my question. Why am I here?
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.